Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
It's going down right here.
Hour number three on FST. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate it. Talk a little bit of World Cup. Happy Bobby Bonilla Day. Happy July 1st. Bonilla. Getting $1.193 million from the Mets today, as he will each July 1st through 2035. So Mets fans have to be reminded of that, and I will do it every July 1st through 2035. I promise you. Got 17 years left of me mentioning it. So just, you know, I don't know. Don't tune in on July 1st. I always want you to tune in, but if it's too painful, I understand. You can listen on demand, and I'll try to give you a heads up when those segments are coming. So why don't we talk World Cup here. Save right there by this, by the Russian goalie right there. So anyway, it's 1-1, Russia with a big goal right before halftime via penalty kick. Home team still very much in this. So look, the big story, certainly from yesterday, since they both played, was both Messi and Ronaldo going out within hours of one another. Neither of them scored. The French-Argentina game was wild. And Argentina was up 2-1 in that match, and then France scored three times in a row, including teenage sensation Mbappe scoring twice. Pavard had a brilliant goal. I guess we can call it the goal of the tournament, right? Where he just hit an unbelievable shot. And it was a 4-3 final. And Messi goes home. And there's obviously speculation that this will be his last World Cup. I would imagine he's not coming back 4 years from now. A lot of unfinished business for him and for Argentina. But I think for him, it's going to remain unfinished. They are very much a national team that's been in disarray for a while. I didn't have them as one of the favorites here just because of that. And they had a 2-1 lead in the second half. And a couple of analysts saying yesterday, despite the fact they're up 2-1, it didn't look like they were in control of the match. So very excited, very exciting game. And Argentina was down 4-2 and even scored at one late and had another shot late, both in injury time. They scored one in injury time and then another one. Where they had a shot to tie it. So, in any event, there we go. So, first comment on Leo Messi, Kev.
I'm so upset that they didn't end up playing each other. I mean, listen, he's definitely going to retire because this is what he's done every single time that they've faced adversity these past, international runs. He's kind of hung it up, and I guess it's just whether the stress isn't for him, it's tough. I mean, people were talking online, kind of just trying to just read up on the strategy a little bit from that game, just because Argentina and France, albeit I think France expected to be at another level, but people were saying that France was out there just kind of daring anybody other than Messi to beat them. And, people felt like their starting 11 was questionable. Their substitutions were questionable, not playing Paulo Dybala enough. So there was a lot of mess there going on, no pun intended, with the team as a whole. As far as Messi goes, this is really difficult because, you know, not only is he someone who is trying to fight to be the greatest player of all time, right? Well, one of the things that makes it difficult is someone who is in that consideration is Diego Maradona from, obviously, Argentina, who has the World Cup for them. And that is going to hold so much weight that, you know, he probably will never get to that point. And maybe that's Americanizing it more. Maybe I don't know how much they have those type of conversations, perhaps overseas and things of that nature. But I do think that that is kind of one of the things you will remember this tournament for. It was an absolute tough go at it for Messi. He had the one goal, but it will not be remembered as any type of success really for him.
Yeah, so he's out, and that, you know, that's the end of the story for Messi and Ronaldo. What can I say? Neither of them scored yesterday. France goes down. France beats Argentina 4-3, and then the Uruguay-Portugal match, like I mentioned briefly earlier, no yellow cards in that match, and Uruguay was up early, and Edinson Cavani was the hero for his country with both goals in the win. The first one was an incredible header. He actually ended up leaving the match, and I did not see what reports are as to whether or not he can play, but in a true act of sportsmanship, Cristiano Ronaldo walked him off the field, but he was limping significantly. It seemed like it could have been an Achilles or something to me, but I don't know if you've seen any updates as to whether or not he will be able to play in the next match. It did not look good yesterday because he was sitting on the bench for roughly the last, 40 minutes? I can't even remember when he left.
Well, the tough thing about soccer is actually knowing if it was sportsmanship or Ronaldo was working against the clock and needed to get him off the pitch. I always find that funny. I think for Ronaldo, this will at least, you know, it's equally disappointing, I'm sure, but he doesn't have, or at least is not looked at as to have the quality in the side that Messi's team does. I think as well, he had his moment, and it was that opener against Spain, and albeit a draw, it was a special performance for him, and he got a lot of records within that performance as well. So I think that's one of the redeeming qualities, at least of this World Cup, for Cristiano Ronaldo. Again, albeit disappointing, Uruguay is a team that I'm sure people feel like Portugal had a chance at, and they had a chance. It ended up just being Cavani and his quality being a little bit too much. But I do think that just in the prism of this Messi and this Ronaldo debate, that will continue until they are done being this good. The 2018 World Cup, quite possibly the last World Cup that we see of these two. And I think definitely the last one where they enter as the two best players in the world. It looks like the edge certainly has to go to Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yeah, Uruguay held on after their second goal. They had just 33% of possession. Game total, Portugal 20 shots, 5 on frame. Uruguay had just 5 shots with 3 on frame, converting 2. So, I've been talking with some people, and from the group stage, they're saying, look out for Uruguay. They've got world-class finishers, obviously, an unbelievable back line, and they could take out France. That's not inconceivable. Although once France got rolling yesterday, they were impressive, and they have a lot of world-class players. Griezmann and Mbappe is like the teen sensation now, and he may very well be one of the stories of this tournament if they keep moving along. But there we are. We're Spain-Russia right now, tied at 1 in the 54th minute. And then later today we'll have Croatia versus Denmark as the bracket starts to get filled out as we head towards the final 8. Let me see if I can get a sense of the rest. There we go. That's what I was looking for, the bracket. And then we're going to have Brazil-Mexico. That is tomorrow at 10 a.m. That's going to be something to watch. Belgium-Japan, edge to Belgium there. Belgium, I mean, I'm not counting anybody in as an automatic because Japan's won a couple of matches in this tournament. I'd say the most unlikely pairing that we're seeing is on Tuesday. That's Sweden versus Switzerland. That'll be 10 a.m. in St. Petersburg, 10 a.m. Eastern time here in the States. Sweden versus Switzerland. One of them's going to the Final 8, Kev.
And Messi and Ronaldo aren't. Pretty amazing. Are you if someone, when it comes to all this bracket stuff, like, oh, it's better if you lose? Because now it does look like if England can get past Colombia, that they have what should be a match that they would be heavily favored in, as opposed to Belgium, who, if they advance and everything breaks right, they would then end up playing Brazil.
It's not great. If you're asking me my opinion on tournaments like this in general, yeah, I do think they should reseed it. I think you should kind of be rewarded for being one of the heavier favorites and winning groups or winning.
Well, I mean, it goes through
conferences or whatever it might be. Like in any sport, I do like the idea of reseeding, but I say that because that's the way I would lean, but I don't know that I would say that with 100% confidence, you know what I mean? It's probably like a 55-45, because part of the fun of sports is how wild these brackets do get. Look mm-hmm. at the NCAA tournament where Loyola made it to the Final Four. Like, that's kind of fun that they had to play Nevada, and Nevada beat Cincinnati, and somehow UM, University of Maryland, Baltimore County took out UVA for the first time ever as a 16-1. Like, that's what's crazy about these tournaments, and I think that's part of the fun. Now, I've said this many times before, and TV ratings bear this out. We like the upsets until it gets to the end. Like, let's see the best teams go at it. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, people would have been like, ah, oh, the Warriors lost. But if they lost to the Rockets, it was okay. If the – I'll just pick a random team. Like
Jazz.
If the Jazz got to the finals, people would have been like, what the hell happened? You know, like, why didn't pay for this?
Yeah, everyone –
I want to see LeBron play KD.
Everyone wants Jazz Bucks until they get Jazz Bucks. Like, that's just how it goes.
That's right. That's exactly how
Ooh.
It goes. We've seen that in the NCAA tournament. What do we have? Some NBA news?
We certainly do. The door right. is not closed on LeBron to Philadelphia, as Woj said on SportsCenter, but now tweets out to make it official. Nothing's official until he tweets it. Philadelphia is meeting with LeBron and his reps today in L.A.
There we go. I know some people in that organization. I could probably pick out some of the people that would be there. So
they don't have a GM.
I know.
That's
they apparently
crazy.
Don't need him.
Apparently
they got
not.
A meeting with LeBron.
You know, one of the things that is difficult, I think, throughout this whole process with LeBron, and I mean, we've done this. I mentioned Philly a lot. I thought that it made a lot of sense. Then last week I was talking about Miami, and I recently was on Twitter just saying, I mean, this thing looks all but sealed to L.A. But I went and I watched something. I don't know if by chance you came across this as well. SB Nation did this thing. It was called a Rewinder, but they went back and they kind of detailed a little 13-minute video of everything leading up to the decision. And how there are all of these reports, and originally everybody said, oh, he's going to Chicago. And then there were the links with Jay-Z to the New Jersey Nets, and then everything was kind of pointing towards New York, and then it was Miami, and then it was New York. It was all over the place. And I remember when he left Miami, and just no one thought it was going to be Cleveland, even as much to the point where David Griffin the other day was talking about they thought they were a year away from having a chance to possibly be able to get LeBron. So he does move in a way where just when you think you have these things pinned down, that isn't the case. I still feel like LA is comfortably in the lead. It just based on what the reporting and what it seems to matter the most. But I do think that the Paul George situation can tip the scale. And the fact that the Lakers or the Spurs are having all of these delays in the talk with the Kawhi Leonard is difficult. And as much as he might like DeMarcus Cousins, I mean, he is coming off of what is a terrible injury. So
yeah, and there's no reason to believe that somebody like Boogie is going to be ready for the start of the season. I mean, you might miss half the season coming back from something like that. And that was an injury that for all the work ethic and determination and killer instinct that Kobe Bryant had, it made him really never the same again.
Can I just add something to this that Woj just now as well tweeted out? For the meeting, the Sixers will meet with LeBron's reps. LeBron will not be there.
Oh,
so
somebody who's had a corporate sales career, that is not a great meeting. It's a meeting, but it's not the ideal. It's not the optimal meeting, as I would say. Let's put this on hold for a minute.
I just saw another update.
Tie up the World Cup. Oh, killing me.
Well, Nick Wright, who hosts First Things First on Fox Sport 1, tweeted out, LeBron has made his decision and informed those close to him. Expect the official announcement Tuesday morning. So, I mean, take that for what it's worth. Not to say that Nick Wright is not a credible reporter. I think that he certainly is. It doesn't come with a team attached. This, that, though, being tweeted out as soon as he was on his way to meet with Philadelphia.
Did the Philly meeting happen already?
No, the meeting has not happened yet. So, I don't know.
Well, you got to take the meeting either way. So, well, let's come back to this. There's just too much stuff going on in the NBA. We're
there's
gonna,
a lot
we're gonna
happening,
close out
Mike.
The show. I know. There's a lot. We're going to close out the show with it. Jeez. I'm trying to talk about Uruguay and then the Philly executives in L.A. It's a two. It's like a. I'm going to get the bends from a transition like that. So, just to wrap up the World Cup stuff, Colombia, England, Belgium, Japan. We were talking about the bracket and how they could reseed. I know some people are in favor of that, but I say for now, enjoy the craziness because this is what it is right now. Uruguay will play France on Friday, but you could have an England. I mean, England has a path set up where they can really make this happen. You know, they obviously have a world-class goal scorer, so they conceivably have to beat Colombia and then the winner of Sweden-Switzerland, not exactly murderer's row, in order to get to the semis, and that would be really interesting. So I don't know if I'm rooting for it or not. I guess, you know, having England fans to kind of pick on is kind of fun, but at the same time, I'd rather see them there than any of these other teams. And who am I picking on? I'm an American, so... Our team stinks right now. So there you go. Who are you rooting for? Do you have a team left that you're rooting for in all of this?
I typically will cheer for England because I like a lot of their players. I do watch a decent amount of Premier League. I think you could probably say the same for Belgium. I also had a college roommate who Brazil national team was his life. So I think Neymar is cool. So I think probably England and Brazil of the teams remaining.
I would love to see Belgium upset one of those guys. But, all right, that's it for World Cup for now. We'll come back. We'll start talking NBA again and keep you updated. Mike and Kevin back right after this.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
FNTSY. Coming up at the top of the hour, it's going to be George Kurtz, Corey Parson hosting Fantasy Football Frenzy along with George Kurtz at 12 to 2 Eastern. 2 to 4 is going to be the Fantasy Baseball Tout Wars Baseball Hour. That's with Lauren Michaels and Justin Mason as well. So feel free to check in on those shows throughout the day. But a lot of stuff going on. DeMarcus Cousins increasingly likely target for the Lakers, which you already mentioned. The Bucks will not waive guard Brandon Jennings at the deadline today, making his $2.2 million contract guaranteed. Now, he's been talked about a lot as like a guy that they needed to clear cap space for. The Hawks signed all three of their rookies, Trey Young, Kevin Huerter, Omari Spellman. That's a pretty good rookie class, by the way, there, Kev. I know we didn't get a chance to talk about the Hawks much in all of this, but adding Trey Young, even despite my concerns about Trey Young and his size, but Trey Young, Kevin Huerter, and Omari Spellman all in one, that's a legit class there. Omari Spellman has an excellent NBA potential game, right? He can go out and shoot a three. He's obviously a really good defender and a great athlete. I love that they added him at number 30. But the Hawks, while it's not a free agency thing, they signed all three of their draft picks.
Yeah, they actually, Summer League will start tomorrow because the NBA is the The NBA offseason is honestly sometimes crazier than their regular season, sometimes crazier than their playoffs.
It is, oftentimes, yeah.
Yeah, so their summer league will start tomorrow. I think the Hawks have the first game. I'm really excited. I've said it a lot on this network. I'm a really big fan of Trae Young. I'm interested in see what Kevin Huerter can bring to the table, and I actually think there is a chance that Amari Spellman could actually pass John Collins on the depth chart after the full 82. We'll just see, because like you said, I think his skill set is one that can really work in today's modern game.
He apparently, by some accounts, did not have a great run-up and to the draft process. As much as people are excited about his talent, he didn't have a great run-up. Maybe he didn't play well in some of those combine areas, and maybe didn't test as well as he would have liked. But I think it was more about like he got lost in the wash a little bit during some of the combine stuff, whereas Dante DiVincenzo didn't. So his teammate rose up through the draft. And Spellman, look, he locked in as a first rounder, so I think that could be – he might be fine with that. Although I think if he goes back to Nova this past year, I think you see him as a lottery pick next year. At least I would have.
I got lost. I'm. You're talking about Amari or DiVincenzo?
Amari Spellman.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I really do. I do really, really like his game. I really do. And I think that it is important to continue to have guys that can both pick and pop with Trae Young, because Manek, who is the forward at Oklahoma, they ran that so well that I think Amari's game could really lend itself to playing some really, really big minutes. For this team, again, not that they're going to be important minutes, but in just terms of the development of not only him, but as well as Trae Young.
Yeah, and you can see Young, Huerter, Spellman playing a lot. Dennis Schroeder is the sort of, what's the word I'm looking for? He's unhappy or disgruntled point guard. There's thoughts about them trying to move him somehow, though. You would have thought it might have happened by now. Kent Bazemore still there. So, again, John Collins, to your point, second team all rookie this past year. I saw him play a decent amount when he was at Wake. So talented guy, and obviously great potential there for them. So it's going to be a very young team, you know. DeAndre Bembry's on this team now as well. So they have a really young core. He was drafted in 16. So you got 7 or 8 of these players that are all really young guys, so they're kind of building it all over again, right? And building for the future, not challenging anytime soon, but I'm just saying it's an interesting team with the amount of young talent they have on it. So back to some of the other rumors, you mentioned the Woj stuff. The Pistons have James Ennis's early bird rights and have made re-signing him a priority. It's according to Ian Begley. Other teams, including Sixers, Rockets, and Nets, have expressed interest in signing the 28-year-old wing. Sixers guard Shake Milton, who's the number 54 pick in the June draft, stress fracture in his back. He misses Las Vegas summer league. More talk about the Carmelo Anthony buyout, which seems imminent at this point, not at all speculation.
Am I overreacting to this LeBron stuff, Mike? I can't stop. Am I crazy now that I think it's Philly? Because those two simultaneous reports, one from Adrian Wojnarowski, who's obviously well-known, everybody knows Woj, Nick Wright could be the lesser-known, but I think still incredibly credible. I just tweeted it out. I feel like perhaps the meeting that they're going to have right now while LeBron isn't there is it's not a pitch. And I think perhaps it's to go iron out the details of the contract that they're going to work out. And I'm starting to think that it is locked into Philly. Now, again, I might be too overreactionary, which I'm more than open to you telling me that I am. But that's just those simultaneous reports. That's where it leads me off the bat.
It's not a crazy puzzle to put together. I think from a player's perspective, like I told you that Chris Sheridan, who's a longtime yes. NBA insider, he may not have the same cachet currently that Adrian Wojnarowski has, but Sheridan has known he has been on it for a year, saying this is his last year, 100%. He's not coming back. Now, why exactly he said that, you can judge for yourself. I think obviously look, as much as he came back and he brought Cleveland the title and he tried to let bygones be bygones, I think on some level he's not really in love with Dan Gilbert. And it's tough to be to have two alpha dogs in the same room at the same time, and I just think LeBron wants to move on. He did what he intended to do for Cleveland. He tried to do it multiple times, but he got the one ring. And it doesn't surprise me that he's moving on. I think as a player and somebody with LeBron's extremely high basketball IQ, I think while it wasn't fun to go through all the tanking and everything, I think you could realize that they had a plan and it's coming to fruition in Philly. They now do have all these talented players and you can come join it. And maybe JJ comes back for a one-year, $5 million deal to try to get that ring. He just got 23. So, and, you know, you can almost see that being a discussion with Philly. Like, JJ will give you the one-year, $23 million deal. Mm-hmm. And if things work out, maybe you come back on a discount. And what if it's just say it's a one-year, $5 million deal?
That's more than fair.
That would make it effectively a two-year, $28 million deal, which JJ Redick probably would have signed, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Think of it in those terms. Right. So think of it in those terms. So then it's LeBron, Embiid, Simmons, Covington stays during this, JJ Redick, and then they're going after Kawhi, and then they still have all these assets, right?
Yeah.
I forgot Dario Saric. That's the guy whose name I was blanking on. But you have all these assets. Obviously, Simmons, Embiid, and LeBron would have to be the ones locked in to stay, and then everybody else is fungible. And, you know, ironically, a guy like J.J. Redick could stay as well on a discounted deal from where he was at last year. But, and then, you know, you're piecing it together like the Warriors did with some cheaper options. And when I say, I'm setting all this up to say that that's the move for Kawhi as well. So it would be really interesting to me if it was Philly. I wouldn't have had them in the top two if I was speculating. When we were speculating, it seemed like it was setting up for L.A. with a Paul George, LeBron James reunion, and I could have seen him just signing the 1 year back with Cleveland. I never thought Philly was ruled out, and as I've said multiple times in this program, Kevin O'Connor from The Ringer really laid this out well. He wasn't doing it from an insider standpoint. He was just describing the machinations by which this could happen. And yeah, it hasn't happened yet, but I understand why you're leaning that way, Kevin.
Yeah, I just think, well, because for me, I always thought the Philly move made sense. When we had to give our initial predictions, I thought that Philly was the move that made the most sense. But you can't ignore what's being reported. I think the thing now that would come next, right, is if LeBron said that he wasn't going to take these meetings. He wasn't going to have these free agency pitches. So does that really apply? Or is it like, oh, no, it doesn't count if I send my representatives? I mean, it feels like it does still kind of count. And there's been no reports of Houston having a similar type of meeting. And Houston, nothing has happened in Houston. I mean, they'd have to clear a ton of cap space. But they would, Daryl Morey would do his absolute best. He would take a darn meeting, if possible. So, yeah, and again, the fact that the it is paired with the report that he has made his decision, I'm now, and I worry that perhaps I am being a little overreactionary, because yesterday this felt like he was going to be in a Lakers jersey, just what it felt like. But
so what do the Lakers have for him now? Let's just pause for a second before we go back to Philly.
Sure.
What do they have for him now?
So here
it would have to be Boogie, but why would LeBron sign up for that now? Because he isn't healthy. And so it's Boogie, and maybe they keep Julius Randle and Lonzo Ball. Like, I don't know if they can do all of that cap wise. They should be able to, but that's not a team that's going to challenge the Warriors.
So here's how I looked at it from just kind of yesterday breaking it down. This is what it seemed like this thing came down to for me. It felt like there were two big things for LeBron. One was the concept of kind of family and home. Obviously, the literal home is more Ohio, but because he has multiple houses in LA and he is spends a lot of his time there, I think that applies as well. So I think that that allowed it then to just to come down, though, to Cleveland and LA. That home, that family feeling, you don't really get from a Philly or from a Houston or even a Boston, San Antonio. And then the second thing then between those two teams would be where would he be better off signing long-term, because I think he might be looking to take advantage of a four-year max contract, likely opt out after three, because that's typically how he does. And if you're going to go somewhere long-term, one, he doesn't ever want to do that with Dan Gilbert, and he never would do that with Dan Gilbert. But even if the Lakers didn't, at the time of him signing, have any of these guys with Paul George off the table, they still have a young enough core and assets to where he would have to at least feel better about the future if he was willing to commit. And that's why it felt like it was L.A., because it felt like he had narrowed the list down to Cleveland and L.A., and then it was became about which had a better long-term future plan, and that, I think, would have pushed L.A. ahead. But Philly always made the most sense to me basketball-wise. Houston had to gut too much of the roster, and I didn't really love the Harden-Chris Paul-LeBron fit all that much. Philly didn't have to gut the roster. LeBron and Ben Simmons can play together. LeBron has, I think, always wanted, despite the NBA going small ball, play with a big of the like of a Joel Embiid. So I think, and it also, it does keep him in the Eastern Conference. That matters. It really does.
Yeah.
So That's why Philly always made so much sense to me. So now just this, you know, the crack in the window, seeing the light, to me, it's now wide open, and it makes so much sense. I felt like it was necessary to close the door because that's what it seemed like was happening. But at no point did the Philly move not make sense to me.
And here's an interesting component to it, too. When he's like I said, he's got a higher basketball IQ than just about anybody that's ever lived. He brought his championship home. Philly would be the highest basketball pedigree city that he would ever get to play in. Now, L.A. is obviously uniquely at the top of the list, along with Boston. But, and, you know, the Warriors are obviously in present-day terms. But bringing a championship to Philly that hasn't happened since 1983 would be pretty darn cool, you know? And the multiple ball handlers thing, we talk about positionless basketball a lot, which is a little bit of a overused buzz term, but it's kind of important because LeBron's not a quote-unquote point guard, but he sort of is, and Ben Simmons doesn't look like a typical point guard, but he is, and having those guys being able to handle the ball multiple times a game or in crunch time situations would be interesting. And I wonder if LeBron can get through to Ben Simmons and help him to shoot, especially if LeBron's going to be the facilitator. Maybe Ben Simmons develops some sort of outside shot.
Ben Simmons will have to play off the ball more. I think you're going to see a lot of off the ball for LeBron. He's obviously, of the two, a significantly better shooter. But I also think that it can allow LeBron to play in some different ways. And I've heard a number of times Chris Broussard say this on Fox Sports 1, that LeBron would like to play off the ball. And he could do it in a very creative way relative to how, say, a Houston would have asked him. Houston's off the ball is sit in the corner. We're doing ISO. You'll get the ball. And they all take their turns. We'll run high, pick and roll, sit in the corner. That's what their off the ball looks like. For Philly, you can do a lot of dribble handoffs, back cuts, pin downs. There's just a number of things that Philly can do because of having the way their offense works. Ben Simmons plays a significantly different game than that of a James Harden. So to me, this all, the Philly thing just makes so much sense. I think that's why I am jumping the gun, for lack of a better term, on this. And if this deal is done, if it's done, that he's, why would he be meeting with Philly if he already made up his mind? It makes no sense. No sense.
I'm sure Philly wouldn't be happy if it's a courtesy meeting. Look, if you're Philly, even if the decision is already made, you don't pass up the chance to take the meeting. I'm just trying to play devil's advocate. as far as the negotiation is concerned, it's all right that Nick Wright tweeted something out. If Rich Paul told you, look, we're done taking meetings, he's already made a decision, and you're Philly, you'd be like, will you just give us a shot? He's like, no, I'm sorry, the decision's made. We're not taking any more meetings. Then they don't take the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
But I would either doubt it's you're either right about him going to Philly, or Nick Wright jumped the gun on him saying that the decision was made. So the window, whatever the hell, could still be open as far as him being able to make a decision. So pretty cool stuff. I mean, that would be. I actually think that would be a fun destination. I know some people that work in that organization, and I think my ability to get tickets would drastically be reduced if we're on signs there.
But this leaves a big question for LA we can talk about when we return.
Yeah, we'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more about that. And then close out the show for Fantasy Football Frenzy coming up at noon Eastern. So Mike and Kevin back on FST after this.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Stuff out of Sean Engel, well produced today. How would he know that Eric B. and Rakim are one of my favorite rap groups of all time? Rap duos of all time. Tremendous stuff out of Sean Engel. He's been producing our weekend show moving forward, so excited to have him on board. And it's Kevin and I here for the next segment before our Fantasy Football Frenzy comes up. So, Kevin Walsh already jumping on the LeBron to Philly bandwagon, just tweeting stuff out. LeBron photoshopped in a Philly jersey, but
look, did you see the new message that I just sent you?
I'd be really happy for them. I saw the tweet that he sent out
that the meeting was not originally planned.
What do we got now? Was not originally planned. I don't know what that one means. How are you speculating that?
I really think that this is they're just meeting to. To iron out contract details. That's just what does LeBron need to be there for? You trust Rich Paul with his life. If the meeting had anything to do with basketball, LeBron is there. If it had anything to do with basketball, LeBron is there.
So how was this decision made? Let me put it that way. Like how did LeBron come to it? You would have had to have had discussions along the way, and maybe that comes out. Maybe we end up saying that, yeah, LeBron's been talking to us, had talked to us during off seasons. Obviously, we couldn't tamper with him at the time, but he expressed interest and come to us and said, we'd love to take a meeting when the timing is right. Whatever, you know, they you have to be careful with tampering, but. If it's LeBron just on the outside analyzing how they operate business and him wanting to go there, like at some point you'd have to meet the coach. You'd have to, it doesn't matter with the GM now, or meet with some of the business people involved, Scott O'Neill, the CEO, whomever it might be, to discuss intricacies of how you operate, right?
Well, so the thing is,
it's
though,
take Joel Embiid's word for it.
It's Ben Simmons.
You know, went out to a or Ben Simmons. You can't just take his word for it necessarily.
It's Ben being represented by the same agency. I think one of the things that is underrated in this is LeBron being so plugged into the rest of the league. Like, I think that LeBron had a good sense of how everything else was operated. And I kind of felt like this thing did get boiled down as soon as he opted out, that it was down to three teams. And it felt like that the Lakers and the Cavs were in a pole position. But the problem for both of those teams is they had to answer questions that Philly didn't. Philly was ready to compete for a championship with the addition of LeBron James right away. Nothing else needed to happen. Maybe they can add a Kawhi, but they didn't have to. I think he spoke to the Cavs at 12:01. And he either was perhaps informing them or trying to get a sense of what was going on, right? And I think that the Cavs were trying to see if they could do anything. Like, they were probably interested in Kemba Walker. Maybe if DeAndre Jordan opted in, maybe they would have threw their name in the ring, but they just didn't have the assets. And I honestly now, as we look back on this more and more, it does feel like LeBron wanted to go to LA with Paul George, and that didn't come through. And the Lakers, perhaps the clock ran out on being able to make that move for Kawhi Leonard. And I also think that there is something to say, and we can make jokes about Joel Embiid and his health, but Kawhi is still coming off an injury that at one point was labeled degenerative, meaning that it is going to perhaps be reoccurring. So that is dangerous. So I just wonder if there became too many variables in play with those other two teams. Philly's the safe option. Philly doesn't have to do a darn thing aside from add LeBron for them to be able to win a championship. Not compete, not make the Eastern Conference final. That roster plus LeBron competes for an NBA championship next year. There's so many things that Philly has to do, and there's almost nothing Cleveland could do. So I feel like that's why I always felt like they had to be somewhat in play. And I think that's how we got here now.
Well, I don't think there's any doubt that they'd be an overwhelming favorite in the East. The Cavs were the favorite in the East by I don't know what Vegas was saying, but anybody that has watched hoops for the last 15 years would tell you that whatever team LeBron was on in the East was going to have a really good shot at making it. And to my point, we've mentioned now, this is probably the fourth or fifth time I mentioned it during the three-hour show, Kawhi isn't done in Philly yet. That could still happen. So I know what you're saying about the variables and, you know, not wanting to make it a let's start a new franchise in LA with LeBron and Kawhi and Lonzo Ball, even though Lonzo Ball would probably have to go in the other direction with that Spurs deal. But Kawhi isn't done for Philly as an option. It doesn't mean he's the only option, but they can still pull it off. As complicated as it may seem, you could still have a team with Kawhi and LeBron and Embiid and Simmons with some smaller pieces. Obviously, you're going to lose draft picks and younger players, but so there you go.
So let me ask you then about.
I'll say this: you've got me leaning this way now.
I'm a salesman, if nothing else. I'm also convinced myself. So if I can convince myself, I better be able to convince others. Let me ask you this on the Lakers front. Yeah. Because now, I don't think that they should make the move for Kawhi. If they don't get LeBron, there's absolutely no reason to make the move for Kawhi. And people would counter with, but he might not come next year. That's not even the point. Whatever you trade, it doesn't matter. Add Kawhi to this current Lakers roster, you're not competing for a championship. There is no reason then for them to make that move. I would even hesitate on the Boogie move in all seriousness. The thing about the Lakers is part of the reason they're involved in these talks is they do have a good young core. Brandon Ingram's going to enter year three, Kuzma and Lonzo entering their sophomore seasons. You don't have to speed this whole thing up. If there's the chance of getting LeBron and Kawhi and Paul George, all of them together, of course you speed everything up. Speed it all the way up. But if it's just Kawhi, that doesn't make much sense.
I actually tend to agree with that. I
like that you sound surprised that you agreed with me.
No, I'm surprised actually that you said that, because I've been of the opinion that, you know, it's okay for it to be. The Lakers were piecing together so many things since the Kobe Powell era ended, that it looked a little bit like a disaster. And, you know, you had changeover in management, and then Magic finds himself there. Like, Magic is saying that Magic put the target on his back about having to land one of these free agents. But I think it's okay to be have Brandon Ingram, Kyle Kuzma, and Lonzo Ball, and build, and maybe still with Julius Randle and building for the future. I think that's okay. I don't think you had to blow it all up, but you know, it's okay if they do it for Kawhi. But I also think it's okay if they keep it together. But it's going to have to be more of a long range thing, and they will still have to make a run at some free agents. But it remains to be seen who those are. I still think Kawhi is in the mix there. He's obviously pointed to them as a destination. So I think they would blow it up for him, but it doesn't have to be done that way. There's more than one way to skin a cat. I think Daryl Morey and the Sixers have shown that. Daryl Morey in Houston and the Sixers have shown that. So anyway, there you go. I think as we're closing it out, I'm thinking that the Phillies because of the details involved, it seeming like Philly is a real option. But maybe you're right. Maybe the Rich Paul, Ben Simmons connection was enough for LeBron. But Ben Simmons wouldn't have an intricate understanding of the way Philly operates, certainly not in the way that LeBron does or that some other members of that organization can tell him.
I think that Rich Paul would know how they operate. I mean, that's what it has to be. I bet you, too, a part of this, in all seriousness, I bet you them not having a GM might even be more enticing for LeBron. We do know that he likes to have as much say as possible. So I wouldn't be surprised if he then did try to cape to get David Griffin there. I mean, if they internally hire.
No, that was the first thing I thought of when you started talking about the Philly stuff about 20 minutes ago. I do think that... No, because you and I had talked about it before. Like, it may line up for David Griffin. And if LeBron and David Griffin's relationship is as good as we think it is, or as I've heard that it is, then that would make sense. And frankly, he doesn't really have to do anything anyway.
I think now, because we both just said, right, that the Lakers should be out on Kawhi.
I didn't say that. I didn't say that. You said that.
I thought you said you agreed.
I agree that it's an option for them to be.
Okay, okay, okay.
I didn't. That's not. Let me clarify that. I apologize if I.
If they don't get LeBron, you still think that they should explore Kawhi Leonard?
Yeah, why not? Why wouldn't you?
Well, you explore everything.
You're assuming that he's got this degenerative condition. They would have to give up a lot, but they have Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, but what
after all of it?
I'm not giving up. Again, see, the thing is, to me, I think the trade for Kawhi was looked at as a trade for Kawhi and LeBron. So who in the world cares what I give up? And I understand that you can run the risk of him not coming next summer, but it doesn't matter because whatever I give up to bring back Kawhi, if they give up Brandon Ingram, Kyle Kuzma, and some assets, and the team is Lonzo, Kawhi, they land Boogie, couple of other pieces around it. What are the expectations for that team? How high can they truly be? Lonzo is still growing. He's got potential. He's still growing. Boogie Cousins is coming off of that Achilles. That's far more concerning than the Kawhi stuff. And don't even have to factor injury in. I don't think I can make that move if I'm them without LeBron. But let me ask you this, though.
I understand, but you also talked about earlier in the show, in the first hour, you talked about how the Warriors, you know, we're not trying to put a final date on it, but this Warriors team may not be able to stay together past this season. So you have to be considering that as part of your analysis. There's not going to be a whole host of players taking a discount to stay there. Draymond, as you said, is on record as saying, no discounts, buddy. And maybe Clay gets a big offer. That's, you know, this free agency period next year could be really interesting as well.
If the Lakers were out of it, maybe they won't be. If it comes down then to Boston and Philly, I mean, does Philly have to, not Philly rather, does, I mean, do those two now almost have to do whatever it takes to not let the other get Kawhi? Because now I'm starting to just wonder if what kind of situation the Spurs might have put themselves in.
Like losing trade partners.
Yeah, because we're also doing a massive speculation job right now. Like, I'm already putting LeBron in a 76ers uniform, right? This all of a sudden turns back and he ends up going to the Atlanta Hawks and no one even knows what's going on in the NBA anymore. But if he ends up going to Philly,
and the Lakers then were to pull out of the Kawhi sweepstakes. Are the Clippers still going to be involved? There was a report today that the Clippers were still involved in the Kawhi stuff. Is that Jerry West's plan? You know, are there surprise teams that then become interested? I'll tell you this. If the Lakers pulled out of the Kawhi stuff, but the Clippers remained in, I think he would stay with the Clippers then. Because that's got to do enough, right, of a show of respect, a show of commitment, that the Lakers weren't able to make. Boy, is my mind traveling all over the place right now.
Yeah, you're going crazy now. You're going to drive yourself nuts, and you're just doing it off of a series of tweets, albeit from respected sources. So
I can wait. I can go somewhere else then, because there's actually something I did want to ask you about. That was
I gotta eventually land this plane. So I'll give you one more minute of wild speculation.
It's not even no. This is I'll move off it. I'll try and bring us back to sanity. The DeAndre Jordan move, 1 year, $24 million. They don't have their first round picks next year. They sent that to the Hawks. So they say there's no incentive to tank. Obviously, how did you feel about it? Because I initially felt like it was a win for Dennis Smith Jr. and Luka Doncic, and for their ability to progress next year alongside a true big man. This felt like, really, for me, it felt like a win for the Atlanta Hawks, because that pick's going to convey next year.
Yeah, that was a long setup. So ask me the specific question that you want answered.
Do you like the DeAndre Jordan signing for the Dallas Mavericks?
Well, what do you think it's leading to? We didn't get into DeAndre too much before. What do you think that's leading to for the Mavs?
I think that they just want to make the playoffs. I mean, it's their final run. They don't have their pick. They're excited about the Smith Jr. Doncic duo. I think that they're trying to make the playoffs. I haven't ran through it yet in my head, but that's, I mean, how
Dennis
many?
Smith Jr., Luka Doncic, Harrison Barnes, DeAndre Jordan, Dwight Powell, Wesley Matthews there. That's not a playoff team. I mean, it's a playoff team, maybe, but that's not a challenging team. Like, they're not going to do anything with that roster.
I mean, but the thing is, I don't know if they are a playoff team. What I do feel pretty confident is they wouldn't be a bottom five team. And that's the sweet spot for the Hawks. If the Hawks just ended up with the eighth pick in next year's draft, that's why, to me, this does feel like a big win for them. Because I look at who made the playoffs last year from the Western Conference: Rockets, Warriors, Thunder, Jazz, Pelicans, Timberwolves, I would all say, are definitely back. Unless the Blazers or the Spurs blow it up, they should be in position to come back. The Nuggets are all in on heading back to the playoffs as well. I don't know how competitive the Clippers will be, but then you've pretty much got the Mavericks. And the Suns, that you can see by their moves, they'd like to make a run at it. I mean, they could end up...
They've been told, like Ryan McDonough, their GM, has been... There's like a mandate to try to make the playoffs, right? They're not in full tank mode. They've obviously added a bunch of players, and just Trevor Ariza recently. But, I don't think it... Yeah, are they improved? Yeah, but it just doesn't do much for me, right? Because at the end of the day, with the NBA, we know that there's a limited number of teams that actually compete for the title. And we can tell you, we can even tell you now who those teams are, with free agency not even being done. Now, it'll change if LeBron goes to LA. But right now, well, let's just say whatever team LeBron is on, it certainly includes Philly. It's Boston. And in the West, it's the Rockets and the Warriors. Who else is going to compete for the title next year?
Or team league.
That's right.
I'm okay with that, though. It's better than what we had last year, the 1.5 team league.
And we'll say it's LeBron, whatever team LeBron. We'll say it's Philly and Boston. It's Houston and Golden State. Mm-hmm. And whatever team LeBron is on. And he could be one of those, which could be Philly. So it's either 4 or 5 team league. We know that now, right now. So... You asked me, like, what I think of DeAndre Jordan. I guess it's fine. Does it impact the trading of the draft pick? Sure. But it just doesn't do much for me. If they wanted to do something with it, it should have happened last time that DeAndre was going to sign there, and he should have, because the Clippers did 0. So that was it. A lot of wild speculation that last hour. Hopefully those of you who are into the NBA had fun with it. Normally baseball... We do a little bit, but I left that to the Tout Wars guys today. So thank you to Sean Engel for producing. On behalf of Kevin Walsh, I'm Mike Blewett. Come back next week. We'll do NBA and NFL. Have a great 4th of July.